We're going to just start here in Romans chapter 12. The title of my message, okay, you got the title message, you're going to get the title right away. The title of the message this morning is A Living Sacrifice. Okay, we're going to see that. This is what the Apostle Paul was saying as he was speaking to the Romans. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's really interesting the language that he uses here in terms of, you know, talking about this thing called a living sacrifice. First of all, you'll notice how he kind of starts out, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God. It's as though he's pleading with them. He's trying to compassionately reach out to them and show them the importance of what he's about to say, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You'll notice he says that you present your bodies. Something about a living sacrifice, it's something that only you can do. What he's talking about here is not going to be rules and regulations. It's going to be something that is a sacrifice that you present. You know, in the Old Covenant, when they would bring sacrifices, you know, whether it was a bull or whatever, and or it was even like, you know, the different first fruits type offerings, whatnot, when people came to sacrifice and bring those offerings, the moment that they gave them over, you know, to the priest, they relinquished their ownership of it. They gave it to them, presented it. It was gone. As far as they were concerned, it doesn't belong to me anymore. That just totally, it's in God's hands. It's released to him. That's an offering. It's a sacrifice, something you're giving. Very similar to what we would do here even in church. When we give in our offerings, our tithes, offerings, that's a giving, that's a releasing. It's saying, here you go, God, I am sowing this, I am giving this, I am relinquishing my ownership, it's yours, it belongs to you, Lord, to bless your kingdom, to do what you want to do with it. Whether it's your time, serving, whatever it might be, there is an offering, it's a giving over. So that language of offering, he's carrying over into the concept of present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. He kind of takes the concept of offering, sacrifice, giving, and puts it in the same context of allowing yourself to your bodies, that living sacrifice, to be presented to God. He goes on to expound further. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, what he's talking about here is he's talking about, you know, allowing your body, your desires, your plans, your passions to be given to God, like an offering, saying, God, not my will be done, but your will be done. And how does that happen? It happens by being transformed by the renewing of our mind, to begin to think the way he thinks. All right? And you'll notice that when we do this and we present our bodies, we begin to live according to God's ways, we begin to live according to God's words, we're not doing it with the motive of trying to be good enough. We're not doing it with the motive that we may go to heaven when we die or that we may come in favor with God. No, the reason why we do these things is that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay? I'm going to talk about a few things this morning in ministering along the lines of a living sacrifice, but I want to clarify a few things as well, too. There are two concepts that the Scripture talks about. These are kind of big religious words, and, you know, they don't have to intimidate you. They're actually very simple in terms of what they mean. Righteousness and sanctification, okay? Righteousness is something that we have already because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. Those who have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, will reign in life. There is a gift of righteousness that we did not earn, that was given to us. It's a right standing with God. It's the ability to fellowship with God. It's the ability to come into the presence of God. That's why Jesus died on the cross, so that we could have what that big word is, righteousness, fellowship. We have peace with God. He removed the sin that was separating us between God. It's that right standing with God. And it was a glorious day for me. I remember when I officially called upon the name of the Lord and prayed the prayer to receive Christ and just felt that burden removed, felt the peace of God in my heart. You all have your own story, but I remember mine. I experienced what that righteousness was. It was peace. I could talk, to my very own Heavenly Father, and He loved me. And I knew I wasn't perfect. I'm not perfect, but I got that relationship, fellowship, righteousness. That was the precious thing that happened to me. And what happens too, that's righteousness. Okay, let me say something else about righteousness. When you received Christ, on the inside, the Bible says, not only did we receive the gift of righteousness, but the Bible says if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. So righteousness represents the condition of your spirit. On the inside, you are brand new. And that spirit man is righteous. You know, I've been walking with God, you know, since that day for nearly 30 years. But I have not increased in my righteousness one bit from the moment I received Him 30 years ago. That righteousness is a gift. It stays the same. All right? But I can tell you something about myself 30 years ago, that after I received the gift of righteousness, and even though I'm brand new on the inside, that there was still a part of me that still needed some work. Have you discovered that yet? I love this passage of Scripture because I think it puts it very well. Hebrews 10:14. It says, "For by one offering," this is what we were talking about, Christ, you know, bearing our sin, "for by one offering, He," Jesus, "has perfected forever." That's the new creation that you have on the inside. Those who are being sanctified. As you walk with God, you will realize there's a part of you that's already perfected forever on the inside. But there's another part of you that still needs to be sanctified. So it brings us to the second term, righteousness and sanctification. That word sanctification simply means to purify from. Okay? It's going to purify, consecrate, make holy. All right? That has already been done in your spirit. But what did the Apostle Paul say we got to do? We got to renew our mind. That's the part of us that is still being sanctified. That's the part of us that is still being renewed. When I got born again, my spirit was transformed. However, there's still a present transformation that takes place as I'm renewed in my mind. Okay? I'm kind of defining some terms here between righteousness and sanctification. They are both strong New Testament doctrines, and we need to keep them separate and understand their position in our life as believers as we begin to grow spiritually and go on into the things that God has for us. Again, when the Apostle Paul is talking about this renewing, it's not to go to heaven when we die. It's so that we may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The functional purpose of righteousness was to put you in right relationship with God. The functional purpose of sanctification is to help you do what God has called you to do. All right? Two very different purposes behind these two words. And so, just to kind of further clarify, I love the way, well, let's see. So I'm going to kind of take a look at the Apostle Paul real quick here. He says, "For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." Again, there's two things going on. There's the perfection of the Spirit that takes place when you're born again, but then there's the continual consecration, sanctification of your mind as it begins to get renewed, not according to the pattern of the world, but according to the Word of God. The Apostle Paul recognized that too. This is what the Apostle Paul said. He said, "Not that I have already obtained or am already perfected." That Greek word that he uses for perfected is the exact same Greek word that's used for perfected here in Hebrews 10:14. Did the Apostle Paul not have the revelation of the new creation, that he was perfected? No, we get it from the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He knew there was a part of him and that he was a new creation in Christ, and yet he said, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold for me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things. Now look at the language of the will of God coming to play again. Sanctification, will of God. That's how they're connected. I'm forgetting those things that are behind, reaching forward to those things that are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, he was on a path and there was more on his path to do. There was more things that he was, good works on the inside of him that he was called to do. He said, I haven't arrived. I'm not perfected yet. All right? Again, not talking about the work of the new creation. He's talking about that work of sanctification, of consecration to do everything that God had called him to do. He still had room to grow. I still have room to grow. You still have room to grow. Praise God. And this is an important area that we can understand, that I'm righteous in God, yes, but I'm also being sanctified. My mind is being renewed. I'm still being transformed by the renewing of my mind. And that transformation is the sanctification work that is causing me to be prepared for those good works. This is what I love in Ephesians chapter 2. It puts kind of the concept of works in a beautiful chronological order. When you look at verses 8 and 9, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, it says, or we'll just kind of read the whole thing. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now when you think of righteousness and sanctification, verses 8 and 9 speak of righteousness. Verse 10 speaks of sanctification. Verses 8 and 9, what do they say? In relation to works, in relation to righteousness, works are meaningless. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. In other words, we're talking about the gift of grace, the gift of righteousness. Praise God. I am not saved by works. If you kind of want to think of the podium here as the cross, okay? The podium here is the cross. And let's say I'm not a believer, I'm not saved, I haven't called upon the name of the Lord, and I'm heading toward the cross, and I realize, oh, I am a sinner, I need you, Jesus. There's nothing I can do. All I can do is call upon your name. And I do that, and I call upon his name, and it's not by works of righteousness which I have done, but by his grace he saves me. I become his workmanship, now created in Christ for good works that he's ordained me to walk in. That's consecration. And you'll notice the will of God is connected here. You could say it this way: I'm not saved by works, but I am saved for good works. Okay? We're trying to clarify and distinct the difference, and draw a distinction between righteousness and sanctification. All right? It doesn't mean that good works are bad. No, good works are not bad. You just have to have them in the right context. All right? Those good works that he's ordained you, prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. So not only am I a new creation in Christ when I receive Jesus, but in this, you could say, in the spiritual DNA of this new creation, God has placed good works that he's ordained me to walk in. That's an important distinction. And so many times in our own walk with the Lord, the difference between, you know, trying to do good things, you know, it comes down to motive. Let me put it that way. Let me kind of summarize it by saying this: righteousness happened when Christ laid down. He presented his body to the Father, that living sacrifice and that perfect sacrifice for our sin. That's righteousness. Christ laying down his life for us. Sanctification is when we lay down our lives for God and say, not my will be done, but your will be done, and do those things he's called us to do. All right? I'm not doing it with the motivation of trying to be made right with God. That was done through Christ. But I am doing it with the motivation of fulfilling his plan and calling my life. That's the difference. It's the motive. You know, we've got a food pantry at Door of Life, which is fantastic. Part of what God has called the New Testament church to do. But if my motive was, oh, I'm going to do a food pantry, I just really want to, try to feed the poor, and but I'm doing it nervous of a guilty conscience, and I'm trying to make God happy with me, that's a wrong motive. But if I'm secure, God loves me, His favor's already on me. Why do I have a food pantry? Because I see hurting, hungry people that need help like God sees them, and I co-labor together with God to help people and to minister to people. That's doing something for God. It can look the same on the outside, but there's two different motivations. The Apostle Paul said, I could give all that I have. I'd give my body to be burned, but without the motivation of love, it profits me nothing. So when we're talking about righteousness, sanctification, so many times it's the motive of the heart to realize, why am I doing what I'm doing right now? Am I trying to earn brownie points with God? Or has my sin is dealt with through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm doing what I'm doing to live for God, to carry out the good works He's ordained me to walk in. So, one more scripture along this line, 2 Timothy chapter 2. The Apostle Paul puts it this way. He says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood, clay, and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, okay, that would be the wood and clay, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, look at this, and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. You see the connection with sanctification? It's to do the will of God. It's not to try to make you righteous. It's to do the will of God. And you'll notice the language that he uses here. He says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself. Remember the Apostle Paul said, you present your bodies. Nobody can do that for you. This sanctification is the work you're going to do yourself, working together with God, but it's not something God is going to zap you and do for you. There is going to be a working together with God. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master. And that's our motivation for sanctification, is to be able to be useful for the master. Amplified puts it this way. So whoever cleanses himself from what is ignoble and unclean, who separates himself from contact with contaminating and corrupting influences, will then himself be a vessel set apart and useful for honorable and noble purposes, consecrated and profitable to the master, fit and ready for any good work. I want to lay this foundation between righteousness and sanctification so that as we're going forward in this message of being a living sacrifice, that our motives are right, that our motives are scriptural. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I going to offer my body a living sacrifice so that I may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God, so that I may be useful for the master, prepared for every good work? It's one thing to know that I'm his workmanship and that these good works are in me to walk in. It's another thing to be prepared and ready for those good works. All right? Just because I've got these good works that God's ordained me to walk in doesn't mean that I'm prepared to walk in them. The functional purpose of sanctification is that it prepares you to do the things God's called you to do. All right? Thank God I'm his workmanship. Yes, there's a bunch of amazing stuff in here. But if you stop there and don't realize that there is a work of consecration that prepares you, you'll be frustrated. See, God is going to lead you. God is going to lead you to present your body a living sacrifice. God is going to deal with your heart to do some stuff that is going to prepare you in walking out the good works He's ordained you to walk in. All right, so it's important to keep them separate. If you try to combine righteousness and sanctification, you're going to have a great big spiritual victim complex. All right, and basically what's going to happen is you're going to feel God is dealing with you on some things, but you'll be confused thinking, no, that's legalism. That's legalism. I can't do that. No, yes, there is an error. There is a ditch where people try to do good things. Let me kind of put it this way. You know, again, what Jesus did for me in presenting his body is what righteousness is. Jesus presenting his body on the cross for my sin That's what provided righteousness. Me presenting my body is to be able to do the good works he's ordained me to walk in. But when I present my body with the motivation of trying to get God's favor, that's legalism. Okay? It goes to motive. And this is so important to understand in our Christian walk, that we begin to say, why am I doing what I'm doing? Am I doing what I'm doing so that I can be sanctified and meet for the Master's use? Or am I kind of slipping back into works again? Allow yourself to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is how the Apostle Paul said it's going to happen. There's a transformation that has happened on the inside of you when you got born again, translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, and there's a transformation that's continuing to happen in you as you are transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here's a little slice of spiritual reality that we've experienced. The Apostle Paul says, "For I delight in the law of God, according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members," talking about his body, "warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." Okay? This is the battle. This is the battle that we experience as believers. This is a battle that we fight. That there is the spirit man on the inside who is righteous in Christ. Man, he wants to do the good thing 24/7. Let me put it this way. Whenever you have sinned, whenever you have missed it, you have never satisfied the inward man. You can satisfy your flesh, but you never satisfy who you really are, that new creation in Christ Jesus. So, your spirit is here, and there's a part of your mind that's here, and you're kind of bringing your mind in line with who you are on the inside. That's where this transformation, this renewal process takes place. When you think of, like, this picture here, he says, man, I want to do the right thing on the inside, but I get these impulses, and it's like the battleground is right here, all right? The Word of God reminds me of one thing. The impulses of my flesh tell me another thing. And there's the law of the mind. This is kind of where it's happening. This is where the battle is happening. This is where the Apostle Paul said exactly is where the renewing has to take place. You can break the power of addiction in your life when you begin to renew your mind according to the will of God. You can kind of think of it like this. This is like a little input device. You know, I'm able to control the computer back there with this little input device. This little input device sends a signal to the computer back there. Now the computer, it's working right, it receives a signal and it processes it. All right? Your brain, your mind is like that computer back there. It's getting signals. All right? A natural computer. You might have a mouse that will give it a signal. You could have a touch screen that gives it a signal. You could have a device like this. There's external signals that you're getting in your mind. You're deciding, am I going to receive that signal or am I not going to receive that signal? Am I going to do what that signal wants me to do or not? And so the Apostle Paul is talking about, yeah, I've got these sinful impulses that try to come against my mind. We see in Ephesians chapter 6, there's powers and principalities that'll come against your mind. The enemy will go about as a roaring lion and try to, you know, impress your mind and distract you. All right? And so you see that there are these outside forces, you know, working against your mind for the bad, but there's also inside forces in your spirit working toward your mind as well, too. There's revelation from the Spirit of God. There's understanding of what the Word of God actually says. There are things that I can begin to do to begin to connect with what the Word of God says. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. He said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Think of it like this. Think of it like the old-fashioned switchboard operators, okay? They're sitting at their deal, and what do? They've got a wire, you know, and they got a wire with two ends. The one they plug into the incoming, number that's coming in, and then they'll plug the other end to that person they want to call. And so all they're doing with that wire, with the two plugs, is they're completing a circuit. Okay? When you've got thoughts coming in your mind, that's kind of what happens. Those thoughts are kind of like those wires. And your mind is either going to be programmed to your body. I'll just kind of allegorically point to my my hand, my forearm here, to represent my body, the impulses of sin. And I can take those thoughts and I can plug them in as a switchboard to my body, to my flesh, to those impulses, or I can take those thoughts and plug them into my spirit, my inward man, the Word of God. And so the Apostle Paul is saying there's a transformation that's going to take place in your life as you begin to renew your mind. You begin to unplug from the flesh and you begin to plug in to the Spirit. Not conform to the pattern of the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. You literally begin to rewire, rethink. The transformation by the renewing of your mind. This is not positive thinking or mind over matter. This is the power of God that's in your heart. The power of the Spirit of God that works through your heart and your mind as you begin to think on God's thoughts. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 puts it this way. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." And look at this. "Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." You got to almost kind of begin to think of yourself as that switchboard operator. And when I'm taking those thoughts and I'm bringing them in captivity to the obedience of Christ, I'm unplugging from those passions of my body and I'm plugging into the Spirit of God. I'm plugging into the Word of God. I'm plugging into I know what God wants me to do. I'm beginning to change the way I think. This is the process that happens as you begin to renew your mind. Okay? Now, I'm going to just spend a little time on that. That's kind of the mechanics of it, but I'm kind of saying all that to really get to this today. All that is groundwork. Allow yourself to be transformed. You got to allow yourself to be transformed. Again, I'm a new creation in Christ. I got the revelation of I get it. But I also know that there is a continual transforming that takes place as I begin to renew my mind according to the Word of God. Now, I'm going to read a passage of Scripture. And this, I almost kind of call this, I'm going to read Colossians 3, 1 through 10. And you know what? This is, it's kind of like Romans 12, 1 through 2, our opening Scripture. Kind of the unedited version, all right? It's the full version of Romans 12, 1 through 2. It really ties a lot of stuff together, but here we go. Colossians 3, it says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died," this is talking about the inward man now, "and your life is hidden with Christ in God," that new creation, that new spirit life that's in you. "When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness," which is idolatry. "Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves, not God, you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth." You know, at this point, you want to stop and think, man, Paul, you were doing so good in Colossians 1 and 2. You were telling me what happened to me in Christ. And now, Paul, it looks like you're getting off back into the law here. What's going on, Paul? Man, my righteousness is a gift. I know it. I've been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Why are you strapping all this back on me? I thought I got out from under this. You know what he's describing here? He's describing exactly what he's talking about in Romans chapter 12, 1 through 2. Offering your body a living sacrifice. Look how he prefaces it in verse 5. "Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth." What's he talking about when he's saying present your bodies and putting to death your members which are on the earth? He's saying fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, are these the Ten Commandments of the new Christian? Is this law? No. You yourselves. You remember, I'm not doing this to go to heaven when I die, am I? But this is what's going to sanctify me. This is what's going to put me in a place where you can cleanse yourself of the latter, the wood and the clay, so that you may be a vessel, meet for the master. Anyway, he goes on here. "Put put to death all these anger, wrath. So it's not just, like I remember in Bible school, somebody said verse 5 are the blue-collar sins, and verse 8 are the white-collar sins, all right? They're both flesh, though, aren't they? A lot of times we just think of verse 5. Oh, yeah, passion to the sex and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, that's bad. But, you know, look at what, it's the same category. Anger, wrath, malice. It's easier for us to kind of spiritualize those. No, it's the same stuff. But look what how he finishes this passage. And do not lie to one another. Okay, we've got another one. Since you've put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is what? Renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. This is that Romans chapter. I'm offering my body a living sacrifice. How do I do it? Being transformed by the renewal of my mind. What do we mean specifically? The new have put on the new man who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. You begin to see who you are on the inside, and this stuff doesn't reconcile anymore. You begin to realize who you are in Christ. And here is the difference when it comes to sanctification now. It is not a sin-focused sanctification. It's a spirit-focused sanctification. You get free from the junk as you're focused on him. This is how the scripture puts it in Galatians. He says, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. They're contrary the one to the other, so that you do not do the things that you wish. All right? But you'll see the victory, the way we get free from the lust of the flesh, or you could say this group of stuff, is as we begin to walk in the Spirit, we begin to renew our minds according to His Word. There's power in His Word. You begin to see yourself as a new creation. You begin to see yourself righteous in Him. And it's like, I don't know. No. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. It begins to affect the way you think about yourself. It begins to affect the way you see yourself. And you begin to offer up those bodily impulses, whatever you want to call that, to Him, and you begin to allow yourself to be changed. And I just love what it says here. Walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's a powerful thing. But you'll notice here in verse 17, just because you're walking in the Spirit and you're living for God doesn't mean that the wrestling match is over. There's still a battle, isn't it? And this isn't the law stirring up the knowledge of sin in your members right now. This is the flesh and the Spirit going at it. Still got that battle. And you'll notice how it ends. It says, so that you do not do the things that you wish. You'll notice you is in there twice. There's two you's in there. So that you do not do the things that you wish. You could say it, your spirit doesn't do the things that your flesh wants to do. There is an inflection point, and you begin to walk in the Spirit, and you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh because you're walking in the Spirit. But here's the situation. I'm gonna go ahead a little bit, and then I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna skip ahead a few deals here. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, there it is again. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Present your members which are upon the earth. Put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Do you know the context of that verse has to do with the Spirit of God leading you to put to death the deeds of the body? And this is where it's not rules and regulations. This is where it's God who's going to lead you and guide you by His Spirit. I thank God that He didn't start 30 years ago and tell me everything that was wrong with me and put that on me. But see, He realizes you're a baby. You're a spiritual baby when you're born again. You're just learning how to walk with God. As you begin to grow, there's more responsibility. He teaches you more. But with more responsibility comes more freedom and more ability and more influence. And so there is a spiritual growth that takes place here. But you'll notice here, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Now let me just kind of put it like this. When you put to death the deeds of the body, there is, it doesn't just say, you know, like I said, maybe you've been dealing with some, you know, some of these works of the flesh that the Apostle Paul talks about here. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. When you say, okay, you're right. Lord, I need to mortify. I need to put to death. You know that same language, put to death, same language there. Yeah, I need to be free from that fornication or covetousness or wrath or malice, whatever that is. You'll notice that when you decide, Lord, I'm offering that up as a living sacrifice. I want to be sanctified from that thing. It's slowing me down. It's confusing me. Man, it's you know, inhibiting me from running the race you've called me to run. And that's what Hebrews says. It says, lay aside the weights and the sins so easily beset you. They're a distraction to your race. You're not doing this to get saved. You're going to heaven, all right? But you are doing this so that you can be meet for the Master, that you can do what He has called you to do. And so as we're talking about, you know, by the Spirit, putting to death those, you know, let me see here. I'm sorry. Yeah, right here. So by the Spirit, we're putting to death the deeds of the body. You will live. Now, when you talk about death, you know, this is not, you know, death, the Bible says death is the last enemy. You know, it is, when there is a death, there is a grieving process that takes place. And it's not fun. All right? I mean, when a person is grieving, you know, kind of some of the stages of grief are this. There are, you know, the emotional trauma, feelings of depression, loneliness, physical symptoms of distress, feelings of panic, feelings of anger, resentment, difficulty returning to normal activities. These are all a natural part of grieving when it comes to the loss of somebody that we love and care about. And it's a process because as we're coming to grips with that loss, we're experiencing that kind of loss over and over in a lot of different contexts of life. And it's not a one-time event. There's a process that you're going through, but as that grieving is taking place, and it's not according to your feelings, there's also a healing that's going on the inside. And the last two steps is gradual resurfacing of hope in the establishing of a new reality. But it's a process that you go to get there. And what happens is you are learning, you know, in a coping with a loss in a grieving sense, you're learning as God is working with you by His Spirit, as you're working through these emotions and different things, you know in your heart God is building in you a new hope and He's working in you a reality that's coming to come through that grieving process. Do you know it's the same way when you die to sin? There's a grieving process that you'll go through. When you say, okay, Lord, by the Spirit, I'm going to put to death, all right, the deeds of my body in that area. Maybe, you know, whatever it was in that list, fill in the blank. And you say, okay, Lord, I know that if I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise God. I know that He that is in me is greater than he that's in the world. The law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus is greater than the law of sin and death. I can sing about the name. I begin to walk in the Spirit. That's declaring what the Word of God says. It's coming to church on a Sunday morning. It's fellowshipping with one another. It's setting your mind, going in that direction of spiritual things. But you will find as you begin to present your body that living sacrifice, that sacrifice is alive. But ultimately, it's going to die by the power of the Spirit. But it's the most alive when you first offer it up. And you will experience some emotional situations. You know, it's easy to offer, you know, an area of your life after you've indulged in it. Have you noticed that? You can indulge in something and say, okay, then I'm done. That was it. That was done. Well, that's one context. That's great, and we need to. But you'll notice that thing will come back in all different contexts of life again and retest it. And you're going to feel, at times, emotions. You're going to maybe even have feelings of depression. You can even have physical symptoms of distress as you're endeavoring to walk in the Spirit because there's a pull trying to get you back into those things. Now, this is heart stuff. This is where you and God, man, overcome some stuff. And I'll just tell you this in my own life. The reason why I've gone back to the flesh is to stop the grieving process. But if you won't
if you'll go through that grieving process, if you'll stay Spirit-focused, that thing that has a grip on you will get less and less and less. What about this situation? You see what they did? Oh, isn't that frustrating? Why don't you do... No, doesn't matter. Every context, nothing, no angles, no loopholes. Spirit, Spirit, Spirit. That grip is going to get less and less and less and less. And by the Spirit, you'll put it to death. Yeah, but it's been in my family for 50 years or 100 years. It doesn't matter. By the Spirit, you can put it to death. The fear, the hatred, the anger, by the Spirit. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by the Spirit. So it's consecration. Is it me in this consecration and proud of my holiness? Not at all. It's me humbly walking with my God, focusing on the Spirit of God. And in every context of life, as I'm grieving the loss of that thing in my life, I'm saying no. In that situation, yes, the Lord, His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. In that context, still His grace is sufficient? Yes, His grace is still sufficient. His grace is sufficient. And there is a putting to death of the deeds of the body. Now, this is important as it relates to offering your bodies a living sacrifice. Because as you begin to go through some of this stuff, man, as you begin to get free from some of this stuff and that internal stuff that's maybe held you down, what happens then? I love that the tail end of this. There's a gradual resurfacing of hope. There's an establishing of a new reality. An establishing of a new reality. I'm going to be quite honest with you. When you begin, when this stuff begins to work in your life, and those things that have had you for years and years, and you're feeling it's kind of gone, you're thinking, wow, you know, that's amazing. But there's a part of you, not only that will pick it up to stop the grieving process, there will be a temptation to pick it up simply because it's familiar. And it's like, am I getting whacked out on religion here? I mean, man, I'm going, yeah, I know it doesn't bother me anymore, but it's like, you know, it's God and spiritual stuff, and man, this is new territory for me. That's okay. That's right. That's the way it's supposed to work, actually. I'm going to just kind of speed on. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Remember, that's the same Spirit that God is using to put to death the deeds of the body. But with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we all, with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. I thought I was already in His image. I thought I'm a new creation. Creation of the old past. Well, it's come new, right? Right? Well, yeah, it's true. That's on the inside. That's the work of righteousness. But there's a continual sanctification work that's still going on, isn't it? There's still a continual transforming that takes place by the renewing of your mind when you, by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body. And when in this situation, no, it's still dead. I'm still walking in the Spirit. What about this? Nope. Walking, walking, walking. The grip gets less, less. Other things begin to happen. You begin to behold Him, and you're changed. And it's like, man, I can't even believe that thing had a grip on me. Whew. I've had things like that in my life. Praise God. It's amazing. Man, you're really free. Man, you'd love it to always be a zap. Somebody lays hands on you. No, a lot of times, if you cleanse yourself from these, what does that mean? It's not a work of the flesh and spiritual pride and all that stuff. No, it's by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body. You're walking in the Spirit, but yet there's still a pull. There's still a pull of the flesh. And what's the motivation for doing that? To be holier than thou? No. To do the will of God. Now, this is why I love, I'm kind of skipping around here. I love the way Peter puts it. Motive, in terms of motive for living for God. He puts it like this. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. That's the language of presenting your body, isn't it? For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. In other words, when this battle happens, and you don't do the things that you wish, you've ceased from sin. When the flesh wants to go that way, go in the Spirit. You've just ceased from sin. Why do you do that? To be holier than thou? Not at all. Verse 2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but there it is, for the will of God. Sanctification always points you to the will of God, doing what God has called you to do. You know why I'm endeavoring to just offer my body a living sacrifice while I am endeavoring as the Spirit of God leads me to put to death deeds of the body, because it is going to sanctify me. It's going to prepare me for every good work. You know, David, when he came in contact with Goliath, he wasn't fazed. Why? He fought the lion and the bear. He said, this uncircumcised Philistine isn't going to be any big deal. When you, in your own flesh, Got that relationship issue, and you got the wrath and the malice and the anger, and you're putting it to death by the Spirit of God, and you're loving, and you're forgiving, and you do what God has called to do, and you get that victory in your own life personally, then when you go on to do what God's called you to do, and so-and-so steps up and says such and such, you fought that lion and that bear. Forgive him, love him, go on, stay spiritual, folks, and do what God's called you to do. Sanctified for every good work. The motivation, the purpose behind sanctification, to offer your body. You know what Jesus said? You know, in terms of the fruit that we bear to God, some's going to be 30-fold, some's going to be 60-fold, some's going to be 100-fold. A lot of times, the effectiveness that you have is directly related to the willingness to be able to lay down that self-life. And again, I don't lay down my self-life to go to heaven when I die. That's settled. I'm laying down my self-life that I can be useful for the Master. Sanctify for every good work. And there is a process of walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And I just, in my heart, I just want you to get across this to you this morning. As you're endeavoring to live for God, as you're endeavoring to lay down and just do whatever God has called you to do, and as many as are led by the Spirit of God to put to death certain deeds of the body, as God leads you, and you still feel that pull of the flesh, realize that, hey, I'm going to go through that grieving process. Yes, that thing is now dead in my life. You know, and if I have emotional feelings, I feel depressed because it's kind of a companion because I'm so used to being around it. Nope. Nope. It's still gone. No more fellowship with that thing. It's gone. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. I'm resentful. Why am I doing this anyway? No. Still going. Still going. Going. Gone. And that thing will lose its power on your life. That thing can be so dead to that thing that for you to enjoy that thing again, you got to train yourself all over again to like it. You got to re-renew your mind. That's really a fun pleasure. You'll be so dead to it. The Spirit has the power and the ability to put those things to death in your life. But ultimately, it's so that you can live the new life. You can live the life in God. Let's see real quickly if there's any specific things here that I wanted to, if I skipped over here. But here it is. This is a powerful passage of Scripture. It talks about the relationship of the law and your members, how it can, here's, therefore, brethren, this is Romans 7, 4 through 6, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that, here's the that is everything, the that is motive, all right, that we should bear fruit to God, all right, this is about bearing fruit to God, for when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions, we were aroused by the law, we're at work in our members, to bear fruit to death, but now we've been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by. It's talking about the relationship of the law and its ability to arouse sin in your members, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. As I'm presenting my body a living sacrifice, I'm doing it in the newness of the Spirit. It's not a to-do list. It's not the law. It's something that God is leading me. Like I said, I'm glad he didn't dump it all on me in day one. Day by day, he allows me to grow up spiritually, praise God, and shows me those paths of righteousness. And I begin to grow, develop, and mature. So, a living sacrifice. I just want to get across this morning that there is sanctification in the Word of God. All right? And it's not legalism. If you do good works for the motive of earning points with God or for favor with God, then yes, your motives can be wrong. Absolutely. The Apostle Paul said, I could speak with the tongues of men of angels, I could have prophecy, understand mystery, give my body a burn, but if my motive isn't love, if my motive isn't right coming from him, it doesn't mean anything. All right? But when your motives are right, it's powerful. You become a workman unto God. You become useful for every good work. God begins to use you in the earth. And I'll just say this. I just, you know, kind of close with this, this thought. As you begin to take on this aspect of bringing yourself, you know, making yourself a living sacrifice to God, one of the beautiful things that I've experienced in my life is it develops you spiritually in a powerful way. You know, I kind of like to say, and just kind of reflecting my life, when you talk to a lot of believers, you know, we say kind of like, you know, from a natural standpoint, you're right-brained or left-brained. You know, you're kind of either mathematical or you're kind of the artsy creative. That kind of crosses over, I've noticed, into the spiritual stuff. You got people that are word oriented, word to do these processes, these steps, da 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 da, and I'm going to do it, I'm going to say word. You know, it's kind of word, discipline, that kind of stuff.
You know, I don't know if that's left or right brain. Is that left brain or whatever you kind of think? Is that left? Okay. Then you got the, you know, so it's more, it's discipline. And there is a discipline side. And then you kind of got the right brain Christian. It's just all relational. Oh, praise God. Let's just sing another song. You know, I'm a lover, not a fighter. I just want to feel good. I just want to get in the presence of God. You know, it's just kind of relate. Everything's relational. You know, well, which one's right? They're both right. But when you begin to work this stuff out, it'll draw on both of those in a big way. Because it's that relational side that'll cause you to cry out to God when that thing has come against you for the 500th time, and you're going to be faithful to walk in the Spirit. God, I need your help. The Bible says that He is able, having been tempted in all points as we are tempted, He's able to run to the cry of those who are being tempted. And in those places of staying faithful, there will be heart relational cries out to God where you're just going to be in His presence, praise God, and you're just going to draw from His strength. That reality of His presence, the reality. It's not just He'll never leave me or forsake me. I know He'll never leave me nor forsake me. I know His presence. I know His faithfulness, and I love Him. And there will also be that discipline side in the Word when those thoughts come against you, and those thoughts come against you. And all of a sudden, you're not feeling anything, but you know, no, God, His Word is true. It is written. He has not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. And there is a discipline side. And there's something about offering your body as a living sacrifice that brings both those sides of your spiritual brain together. Because you need them both. Ah, and what happens? You begin to behold Him. And then you begin to get changed. And you're in a place where you're consecrated for every good work. And you're not afraid of the devil. You're not afraid of your flesh. Because it's dead. It doesn't have the grip anymore. And what happens is you have a spiritual focus that God can talk to you, and you can say what He tells you to say. You can do what He shows you to do, because it's no longer clouded by your body anymore. You're sanctified, meet for the Master's use. Heavenly Father, we come before You in the name of Jesus. We thank You for these amazing lives that You've given us to live. You've made us brand new. We behold the manner of love that You've bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. What an awesome thing You did on the inside of us, Lord. Someday, our spirit will leave our body, and we'll see the fullness of the glory that You have bestowed upon us, Lord, making us brand new in Christ. Oh, Father, we thank You for it. But, Lord, we also know that there is another transforming work that is taking place now as we offer our bodies a living sacrifice. It's not a new law. We put off these things. It's not who we are anymore. We don't identify with these things. It's not just the theology of the new creation. It's living a life that's renewed according to the knowledge of Him who created him. Oh, Father, it's our minds and our lives lining up with who we already are on the inside. Those precious sacrifices. Lord, I just pray that You help each one of us get that revelation this morning, that as God may lead you into an area to begin to present your body, see the big picture, see the work of precious purification that's going in your mind, Lord, that is going to cause you to be able to do what He's called you, to make you useful for the Master, to realize that whatever that thing is that's been plaguing you, that thing can die by the Spirit of God. The law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus is greater than the law of sin and death. If you simply, stubbornly, continually walk in the Spirit, you will put to death that particular deed of the body, and it will sanctify you. Oh, praise God. Father, I just pray right now for each one here this morning that there would be fresh hope, courage, to not even fear the grieving process, but to know that it's a process. It's a process that will eventually result in a gradual resurfacing of hope, establishing a new reality, seeing your life without that area being filled with fruits and glorious things that God has called you to walk in. Oh, Father, I just pray over Your precious people this morning. Blessing, strength. Go ahead and declare this if your heart can agree with this. Say, Heavenly Father, I am Your workmanship. I belong to You. I will present my body
a living sacrifice. As you lead me by your Spirit, I will walk in the Spirit and put to death those areas that have beset me, that have encumbered my walk with you. And by the Spirit, I'll be totally free to live all out, fully sanctified, useful to you, so I can see what you're showing me. I can hear what you're telling me. Lord Jesus, today is my day, the day I call upon your name. I believe in my heart you died on that cross for my sins, that God raised you from the dead. There are many things I don't understand. There are many things I don't understand. But one thing I choose to believe. You love me. I receive your love now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.